solemnly swear that I will faithfully, diligently, and impartially execute and perform the duties required of me as a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and will well and truly obey and perform all lawful orders and instructions which I shall receive as such, without fear, favor, or affection of or towards any person. So help me God.
The Queen's Men. For the first time, authentic stories of the world-famous Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Tales of men who, for almost 100 years, have helped to keep peace in Canada. The Queen's Men. The Queen's Men. True stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now transcribe The Queen's Men.
Well, now, for a good example of arson, how about that case a couple of years ago in Saskatchewan? 10 grain elevators burned to the ground within 1 year.
Oh, yes. That was the Phillips case, wasn't it?
Yeah, Phillips was one of them, I remember.
Say, that Phillips case was a dandy.
Yeah, where were you? Were you on it, Sergeant?
No, but I read some of the reports. Enough of them to give you a rough idea how it went. Although I'm not sure of all the details. Yes, the company finally called in the RCMP after the 10th fire. They'd had private investigators on it up to then. And the trail was cold. Stone cold.
I'm Sergeant Bronson, Mr. Harris, RCMP. This is Corporal Wells.
Morning.
Well, I sure hope you men can find out the cause of these fires. I tell you, I'm at my wit's end.
Yes, I can understand that. The job might have been easier if we'd been called in before, but we'll certainly do the best we can.
Well, what do you think, Sergeant Bronson? Do you think someone has deliberately been setting fire to our elevators?
Looks like arson to me, Harris, right at the moment anyway. I have my men making a thorough investigation of the ruins of the latest fire. They may find something for us to go on.
Well, I sure hope so. Insurance company hopes so, too.
But my first job, if it is arson, is to determine whether it's being handled from inside the company or a couple of plain firebugs.
Oh, it wouldn't be anybody in the company. My employees are all perfectly trustworthy. Oh, I'm sure of that. It might be a case of carelessness on someone's part, don't you think?
10 fires in 1 year? I hardly think so, Mr. Harris. Now, I'd like to see the list of your employees, their specific jobs, and their past histories.
Mm-hmm.
You do have some sort of record on all your help, don't you?
Oh, yes, and I've been through it myself. Time after time, hoping I could... No, just a minute. Just a minute. I'll have the girl bring in the records. Miss Anderson? What's that? Out there? Just a minute. Sergeant,
yep.
She says one of your men is in the outer office. A Constable Davis wants to see you. She didn't know she should interrupt us.
Yes, I'll see him. You go ahead and locate the record book, Mr. Harris. Corporal Wells and I will step outside just for a minute.
Oh, here's the fuse, Sergeant. Looks like it was a fuse originally, anyway.
Yes. Yes, it does. Where'd you find it?
Among the wreckage. I found this detonator, too.
Looks like arson, all right, eh, Sergeant?
I was pretty sure of it anyway, but I feel better having something positive to go on.
There's a wooden framework, quite a large section of wood at the base of the elevator. If the lumber's been properly aged, I figure it's sure fire. If you'll Pardon the pun.
This time, Davies. But don't let it happen too often.
From the location of this stuff, it looks as though that framework was the target for the bonfire anyway.
Well,
we're on our way, Sergeant.
Yeah. Now all we have to do is find the man who set it off.
That's all.
Come on. Let's see if Harris has those records.
RCMP headquarters. Inspector Hayes here. Oh, Davies. What'd you find out this morning? No. No, he hasn't returned yet. Yeah. Wait a minute. Here's Bronston now. Yes. Yes, I'll tell him. Goodbye.
Good afternoon, Inspector.
That was Davies. He's just been through the wreckage again, as you instructed him, and found nothing but a rubber half sunk in the mud. He's bringing it in for fingerprints.
Not much hope, I'm afraid.
No, I don't think so. Says it's size 10, though. Sometimes a size can help. Well, what did you find out?
Nothing from the employees so far. I thought I'd come back and check the arson files. Now, you might get a lead from them. A lead that'd tie back to the company.
Yes, that's as good a thing to try as any. Matter of fact, I've got the file right here.
Oh? Have you, Inspector?
I figured that'd be your next step, so I've been looking it over. Have a look at this.
Yes?
Two men, Phillips and Croto, convicted for arson in this province in 38, released a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh. Well, what else about them?
Just that they were originally convicted for setting fire to grain elevators. Thought it might tie in.
Say, it just might, Inspector. What's the latest information on them?
I have Martin checking them now. Let's wait and see what he finds. Here we are, Bronson. We have the addresses of these men listed.
Good.
They were released on parole, so we've kept a check on them. When last heard of, they were living in the town of Black River.
Black River?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just a few miles out of town.
Yeah.
A lot of the workers from the grain company live there.
That's right. Looks as though they've been keeping in touch, if not with us, with the grain business.
Well, now, let's take a look at their motive. If they're not employed by the company, then it isn't a grudge or inside profit. If they're just firebugs, then why pick grain elevators exclusively?
Yes, go on.
Now, they're obviously in it for some kind of profit.
Uh-huh.
And they'd get that profit if they were working hand in hand with someone who is employed by the company.
That makes sense.
Someone who's being very careful not to do the job himself.
Now, assuming your theory's correct, Sergeant, how do you propose going about discovering just which employee they're working with?
Oh, haven't figured that out yet, Inspector. I think I better investigate these two men first.
Mm-hmm.
See if they're still around Black River. Then I'll proceed from there.
Well, what do you make of that, Sergeant?
It's very puzzling. The two men are living here in town, all right, and don't seem to be employed. Well, now, how do they live?
The landlady wasn't very cooperative.
Well, I didn't want to question her too closely. I don't want them getting suspicious. As it is, she thought we were just looking for a room to rent. We'll leave it that way for a while.
Lucky we were able to rent a room right next to them.
Yes, we'll occupy it this afternoon. When the men are out, we'll make our arrangements for watching them. And meanwhile, I'd like to have a little more indication just in my own mind that these men might be our men. You got that rubber with you?
Yeah, right there.
I've checked and found there's just one shoe store in town. If one Phillips or Croteau lost that rubber at the scene of the fire, they'd have bought a new pair by now. Mud in this town. Fella can't get by without rubbers.
Are we heading for the shoe store now?
That's right. It still won't be conclusive evidence, but we have to make the most of what we can scrape up in a case like this.
Why, I've sold 100 pairs of rubbers in the last few weeks, Sergeant, and there's nothing unusual about that one you've got. Plain black, size 10.
You don't keep track of your customers, then?
Oh, gee, no. What did I do that for? Well, who is it you Mounties are looking for, anyway?
Well, I guess we're out of luck this time, Sergeant.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I wish I could help you. I've got a lot of respect for the RCMP. You men do a swell job. Oh, if you want to hang around till I've waited on this customer...
No, I'm afraid you can't help us much.
Thanks anyway.
Oh, you're welcome, and good luck. Yes, mister, now what can I do for you?
I want to buy a pair of rubbers.
Why, sure.
Size 10.
Well, didn't I sell you a pair of rubbers just a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, but I lost one. This darn mud. You step right out of the things, and you never know where it happened. Oh, aren't you finished waiting on these men?
Go right ahead. We're just looking around. That was Phillips, all right, Inspector. We recognized him instantly from his photograph.
Well, that's quite a coincidence.
Well, the kind of thing that happens occasionally. And you can hardly believe your good fortune. Looks like a good omen to me, Inspector. I think we're on our way.
Well, now, just a minute. Before you get carried away, that evidence about the rubbers is hardly enough to arrest the man on.
Oh, of course, Inspector. I realize that, but... it's one more link in the chain. Makes me feel I'm watching the right man. Wells and I are going to take up our positions in the room next to his this afternoon and keep a close watch.
Have you some means of hearing the conversation in the next room?
Yes. Wells is taking care of that now. Installing a microphone in their room.
Well, you're really on the chase, aren't you, Sergeant? I don't have to point out to you, of course, that anything you overhear in their conversation is not admissible evidence.
Yes, but once we have the goods on them in one form or another, it'll be an easy matter to get a confession.
You're right. You'd better be getting along then, and good luck.
Inspector, full confession.
Good heavens, Sergeant. I didn't think you'd do it.
Well, it took a couple of days. I must say, though, Harris down at the grain company is pretty sore. He and his insurance investigators have been fooling around with these fires for over a year.
So Phillips and Croto are our men, eh?
Well, two of them, anyway.
I must congratulate you, Sergeant. That's a mighty nice piece of work.
Before you congratulate me too much, I don't think the whole story's there yet, Inspector.
Huh? Oh, how come?
Well, the two men refused to name another accomplice. I still have a very strong feeling that they've been working hand in hand with someone on the inside.
An employee of the grain company?
It doesn't make sense otherwise, Inspector. Why would they set the fires? Just for fun?
I suppose you questioned them about that?
Yes. There was no answer about that one.
Well, at any rate, you've laid the charge and the law can take its proper course. Perhaps something more will come out at the trial.
Sergeant Bronston here. Any word from the courthouse yet?
No, Sergeant. I was figuring myself the trial should be over long ago. Say, just a minute. Henry just walked in. Hold on, will you?
Okay.
How'd the trial go? Oh, Sergeant.
Yeah?
Phillips and Corto found guilty on 10 charges of arson. Sentence, 10 years.
You know, Wells, there's someone getting off scot-free in this deal.
You still think there's a third, eh, Sergeant?
I'm convinced of it. As it didn't get unearthed at the trial, I'm going to get to work on further investigation immediately. Phone Harris, will you, and tell him to expect a visit this afternoon.
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Queen's Men. And now we return you to the Queen's Men.
Sergeant, I don't understand you. You caught the man who'd been setting these fires? This morning they were sentenced. And now you tell me this case isn't closed.
Well, that's right, Mr. Harris. I don't believe it is closed. I'm sure you want to see us get right to the bottom of it.
Why, certainly. Good heavens, if there's any danger of this kind of thing happening again, well, I'm in bad trouble with the insurance company, you know.
Yes, yes, I expect you are.
Well, anything I can do to assist you, anything at all, you just say the word.
I want to go over your list of employees again. This time, very carefully. I want to make a full check on every of authority, starting at the top.
Why, then, that means you should start with me, Sergeant.
Very well, then. That's what we'll do.
You seem to be in the clear, Mr. Harris.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You Mounties, you don't leave many stones unturned, do you?
We can't afford to. Here's the sergeant.
Well, now then, Mr. Harris. Next in line to you is Len Buchanan, I believe.
Yes, he's the head foreman, in charge of all the elevator construction gangs in the northern part of the province.
I don't believe I interviewed him last week when I was questioning the employees.
No, he travels around. He was up at Fort Marsh last week. Keeps a careful eye on all our interests. Thoroughly efficient and trustworthy fellow.
He is, eh?
Oh, my, yes. Len's been employed with us for 11 years. He's proved himself loyal and conscientious. Len isn't your man, I can assure you that.
Our man is going to turn out to be someone who would be least suspected by his superiors, Mr. Harris. Otherwise, he'd have given himself away a long time ago.
But Sergeant, you can't go accusing people who are the very core of this firm.
Now, look, your attitude is perfectly understandable. It's always difficult to believe that someone we have trusted may turn out to be dishonest. Mm-hmm. But you say you trust all your employees. And I am convinced that someone among them is a troublemaker. And also, I see no reason to overlook Mr. Buchanan. Well, now, let's see. Well, what have we found out so far?
Apparently, Buchanan has full authority to dispose of salvage and to purchase local requirements, such as hardware, cement, and other material used in the construction of new elevators. I've been thinking about it, Sergeant. There are a lot of ways in which a man in that position might profit with the continued building of new elevators.
Yes. And his profit would only occur when new elevators were being built.
That's right.
Well, let's see then. These fires started over a year ago. A year ago, February, wasn't it?
Yep. That was the first one.
Well, then, have you any information on how recently, I mean, previous to that time, new elevators had been built?
Yes, I looked into that. The company had been in fairly steady production over the years and had their last construction job the previous summer. Then they called a halt, said they wouldn't be building any more for about 5 years.
Which, of course, would be bad news for anyone who'd been raking in a good portion of graft.
Very bad news.
Well, look now, it's just a hunch, but it makes sense. So we'd better follow it through. I think our next step is to check on all the possible sources of graft in Buchanan's job. See if he's been up to anything. Well, this looks like it.
Oh, yes, officers. Mr. Harris said you'd be dropping in.
This is the pay office, then, eh?
Yes, Sergeant. I'm Harry Baker.
How long have you been here, Mr. Baker?
Oh, 15 years.
You've had dealings with Len Buchanan, then?
Oh, yeah. Len's a fine fellow. Say, you're not suspicious of Len, are you, Sergeant?
We're suspicious of no one and everyone.
Oh, sure. I understand.
Well, now then, when there's a construction job in progress, I understand Buchanan is in charge of paying the men.
Yeah, that's right. We turn over the checks to Len, and he distributes them. That's so the men won't have to check into the office. Sometimes they're working miles away, and Len has to go around on inspection anyway, so he pays them.
I see. And have you ever had any trouble in that connection?
Trouble?
Any complaints from the men?
Oh, no, not a one.
Look at them go at it.
Well, it doesn't take them long to get the debris cleaned up and start rebuilding.
What a construction job one of these elevators is.
Tremendous.
Say, you suppose that's the foreman over there?
Well, looks like it. I'd rather just speak to one of the men, though. Let's stroll over to the carpenter.
All right.
Buchanan is supposed to turn up one of these days, isn't he?
Yeah, he's due here today to oversee this construction job. I wonder if he's heard yet that we've been investigating him.
Dare say he has.
You fellas want to talk to me?
Yes. We won't keep you from your work very long.
Say, you're Mounties, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
I hear you got the guys that have been starting these fires. Good work, Dad. They've been operating a heck of a long time.
Means more work for you men, though.
Oh, well, we'd keep employed anyway. None of us like that kind of work. You do a job once, you don't like to have to scrape up the remains and do it all over again. Personally, I've always thought I'd like to be a Mountie.
Oh, I don't know. Our lives are made up of doing the same job over and over.
Well, you got this arson case all finished and tied up anyways. Well, I guess you're through with it, huh?
Yes, pretty well. Who's your boss on this job?
The big boss, you mean? Well, that'd be Mr. Buchanan.
Oh, is he around?
No, he'd be here this afternoon, though. He always takes over at the start of one of these jobs.
Listen, have you worked under him on many of these jobs?
Yep, last five or six. Why?
I'm just curious. I hear he's a good man.
Yeah, I guess he's all right.
You say he's all right?
Sure, he's fine. Knows his business. Nobody gets away with anything. And he comes across with the cash every week.
What cash?
Our pay.
You mean your check?
No. Mr. Buchanan, he pays us in cash. You see, on these reconstruction jobs where the elevators have been burned down, it's costing the company a lot of money. They can only afford to pay us for the hours we actually work. Mr. Buchanan explained it all to us.
You don't get your full weekly pay?
No, not in these jobs. That's why we don't like them.
Well, I see. Well, thanks very much. We don't keep you from your work in that case. Come along, Corporal.
I don't understand that at all, Sergeant. That man must have been lying to you.
No, Mr. Harris. We questioned several of the other workmen. They all get paid cash when doing a construction job for Buchanan, with deductions for time off, sick leave, lateness, and so on.
But the company makes out checks to these men every week and gives them to Buchanan.
Exactly. What I want to see now is some of those checks.
Well, here's our evidence, Sergeant.
Yes, no doubt about it. Buchanan's been forging these checks, cashing them, paying the men less than they're entitled to, and pocketing the rest.
How much profit would there be in it?
Not enough to warrant conspiring to burn 10 grain elevators. You can be sure he has other avenues of profit.
Well, that's what we want to look into next.
Yes. We'll want a complete investigation of all the books, every available record in existence, having to do with the construction of these elevators. It's a big job, Wells. We got to work quickly. It's just a matter of time before Buchanan knows we're on to him.
You think he might skip?
He might try. We'd catch up with him, of course, but we'll save ourselves a lot of trouble if we beat him to the door.
Well, here's the whole story, Inspector. This man has been carrying on the most successful career of forgery and theft I've seen for a long time.
Looks like you've really got the evidence, Wells. What's this about the receipts?
Very clever trick. He's been obtaining receipts in blank for local purchases and filling in an increased amount before sending them to the head office of the company for refund.
Oh, Sergeant Bronson.
I just made the arrest, Inspector. We have Buchanan on 10 charges of conspiracy to commit arson, and also 46 charges of forgery, theft, and false pretenses.
And the man who had the trust and respect of the entire company.
Yes, sir. He was more than clever.
Well, Sergeant, I want to congratulate you. But for your skill and untiring efforts, we'd have had years of trouble from this man. The force is proud of men like you.
So Buchanan was the ringleader, all right. They got more dope on him, too. By the time he appeared in court, the indictment contained 57 charges.
Wasn't he a smart one?
Yeah. And how long did you say he'd been operating this racket? 11 years.
About that.
He was smart.
Well, he was until he tangled with the RCMP. After that, he didn't have much of a chance. Incidentally, since his arrest and conviction, there have been no elevators destroyed by incendiarism in that province. Those men did a good piece of work.
The Queen's Men, authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.